All right. Welcome, everybody. We've got a couple of people streaming in here. We're about to kick off the 25th episode of Adopting Bitcoin, a Convo with Galloway. We're going to do a retrospective on the awesome
All
BTC++
right.
hackathon that
Welcome,
happened
everybody.
4 or 5 days ago now, this
We've got a
past
couple people
weekend. Streaming in here.
Nick.
Kyle and Sam will be joining us momentarily. Nick, what's happening?
Austin. We're at the Capital Factory. We've got a couple of guys are late. Looks like Sam's walking in right now. Hey Sam, yeah, if you just want to sit down, we've got the mic queued up.
Sure.
We're just doing intros. So yeah, I just
Cool.
told them we're at a Pleb Lab on the 16th floor. We're in like a secret library room where you have to pull a book and like a little bookshelf lets you in. So yeah, we're just getting set up. Kyle is gonna be back in a second. He's catching up on some work. Sam.
Yeah, we're in a super creative room. Where's the camera? Is it up? Okay. Hey, thanks for having
What's
me.
up, Sam?
We're doing intros, you
Yeah.
said? I've never done this.
Yeah,
How do
I'll
I? Okay. Yeah, my name's Sam. I'm a founder and CEO of Hoseki. We're a proof of reserves, proof of assets company. I think it's a good time to talk about why reserves are important to have transparency over it. Yeah, I'm part of the Pleb Lab group. I moved to Austin recently, about 9 months ago. I'm from Miami, but I want to be around Bitcoiners, so that's Austin, Texas.
Yeah, seems like the place to be these days. Had serious FOMO watching the live stream of the conference and hackathon. While we give Kyle a few minutes, Sam, do you want to talk a little bit about what you said? Why proof of reserves are important? Why proof of assets are important? And maybe a little bit about Hoseki?
Sure. I mean, we have the ability to be transparent around cryptographic assets, so it's very easy to do. I worked at Fidelity previously, and we wrote a paper about proof of reserves with Deloitte, KPMG, Nick Carter, and a few other people. And the conclusion of the paper was that it's very easy to conduct a proof of reserves. These are on-chain assets. At least that's one part of the equation, and that's very, very trivial to prove ownership over. But customers haven't really demanded it. The regulators also aren't forcing exchanges to be compliant. Ideally, they wouldn't force us. We would just be self-regulatory and conduct our own regime. But that seems to never really happen as we hope it would. But yeah, hopefully with stuff like this, I mean, people realize that you should have some transparency if you're using a custodian over the idea that they're actually holding your assets, and you don't have to be held hostage. I wish people didn't have to get burned like this for it to become apparent, but it seems to be the way of the world.
You mean steady lads isn't a satisfactory response for dealing with issues and
Did
liquidity
you
issues?
say laps or?
Steady lads, steady lads de deploying more capital, I think, is
Oh
the meme going
yeah.
around.
No, I think there's better ways to conduct economic activity. Yeah, you shouldn't have to trust third-party custodians. It's not right.
We actually have at Galloway a Summer of Bitcoin participant in the program over in India that takes students who's working on proof of reserves for the Galloway stack. So something that we're looking into as well. And Nick, if you show everybody your shirt, I'll give everybody a quick overview of what they're looking at here. So Nick is new to the Galloway team, also new to the Austin Bitcoin community over there. His shirt has a person, a Gaul actually drinking the Bitcoin potion. So it goes back to the origin of the Galloway name. So if you all are familiar with the Gauls, which was a civilization, let's say, of 160 different tribes in pre-Roman times that repelled the Romans for centuries. They didn't have a single, they didn't ever unify under a single leader, but there are all of these different tribes, and they would very successful in trade, wealthy, and had very strong like mercantile centers called oppida. And anyway, there's a more recent show or comic called Asterisk and Obelix about kind of the Gauls, right? And so this was a just a fun riff on that. We made some shirts for Adopting
Nice to see
Bitcoin
your shirt.
and
Thank
for
you.
the What's that?
You designed the shirt?
Not my hands. Actually, Kamal. I think Kamal had a hand in that. So.
So. Galloway means Gauls, or Galloway is a Gaul word. What?
Galloway, the word is an evolution of the word Gallois, of the French or the the French version of the word Gallois. So the inspiration comes from the Gauls, which were sort of the anti-fragile community of pre-Roman tribes.
Got it. Fascinating.
You wrecked my microphone setup, bro.
Sorry. Do you want it here?
I had it like all tried to set up, yeah. So it was like we were all talking into the microphone well together. It's cool. It's cool. Anyways,
now
you got like all up in your facial profile. Once you looking pretty on like screen, bro, here, of course. Yeah,
just last minute showing up. Microphones are a mess. This is Pleb Lab, right?
Hey, man.
Alpha,
it's not supposed to be clean.
We're about to move into a new office space where you work on the floor.
Like on cushions?
No furniture.
Yeah, no furniture.
Yeah.
We preemptively didn't buy any because we knew we'd sell it for Bitcoin anyways. So
there you go. No chairs needed. Kyle, welcome. We've got everybody here. Sam and Nick did some brief intros. Kyle, do you want to do a quick intro?
Sure. My name is Kyle, kind of commonly referred to as the Bitcoin Bomb on Twitter. CEO of Pleb Lab, co-founder of Austin Bitcoin Club, which is no longer ours, but just a guy hanging out in Austin trying to build a cool community. So that's what I do. That's my jam.
Awesome. And you know, we're here predominantly to chat about BTC++, conference and especially hackathon that you all were part of and helped put on and judge and everything else. Before we jump in, do you want to, Kyle, talk a little bit about, I'd love to hear a little bit about Pleb Lab and just the Austin Bitcoin community. It seems like there's a ton going on there, and so maybe that's a good way to set the stage for the success of the hackathon.
Yeah, sure. It is really crazy how much is going on here. It's a lot of credit due to the people over at Unchained Capital, Parker Lewis, Justin Moon. Justin Moon launched BitDevs, and then Parker Lewis came in and really put out the bat signal that said, hey, you should be here if you're not. I came down because of that bat signal, and shortly after I arrived, I realized that I needed to get more involved in Bitcoin. I needed to I kind of just thought I would get a job in Bitcoin. My goal was really to get a job at Unchained. I made jokes with Justin Moon the first time I ever met him that Unchained would have the cleanest office ever because I'd scrape gum off the bottom of the tables if it got me into Bitcoin. But after a few months of being here, I realized that BitDevs was a bit too technical for me, and I wanted more of the barbecue half of BitDevs where you just hang out and kick it with Bitcoiners. And I had met Carr online. I was asking him some questions. He had a Bitcoin media company. So I asked him some questions about RSS feeds on my YouTube channel, trying to get it into other locations. One thing led to another. We decided to launch Austin Bitcoin Club. We both wanted to get together with Bitcoiners more often. And the guy called me back 7 days after our first conversation on the phone. I've never met the guy, talked to him for 15 minutes. He calls me back a week later and he's like, hey, bro, I quit my job. Let's do this. And I was like, you what? He's like, yeah, I quit my job. He's like, I'm full-time Bitcoin now. Are we going to do Austin Bitcoin Club or what? And I was like, well, fucking yeah, I guess, man. How could I say no to that? That's some serious conviction. We launched Austin Bitcoin Club. The community got together. We kept hearing over and over in the first couple of weeks that they wanted to get developers together more often than bit devs. They threw around a ton of different ideas, hackathons, mini hackathons, salons. I heard all kinds of things, but the theme was developers together more often than bit devs. So we as a team started exploring how we could help facilitate that. I'd kind of started orange pilling the VP of operations here at Capital Factory. They ended up giving us a space that we then in turn turned around and kind of gave away.
How much does space cost?
They gave it to me. So they gave it to me for 3 months for free. My initial thought process was okay, I think we could probably help. Like, we had some early stage conversations around like what would the space be, or what would like the purpose be. And Keon and Carr were like going back and forth, and I just kind of like sat quietly in the background listening to them go through a bunch of shit. And when they finally finished talking, I basically was like, okay, it sounds like you're talking about an accelerator. And they were like, oh, there's a name for it. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Like, you heard of Y Combinator. It sounds like you're trying to build that. So we didn't really have a network. We didn't really come from any kind of like place of like financial stability. Like, we didn't have millions of dollars to like funnel into the like the upfront costs of an accelerator. I had an office that could hold 10 people. I had a small but growing network of people through Austin Bitcoin Club, and a belief that we could help. So we gave it away for free, just like we were giving it for free. The thought process being like, the sooner we get people into the space, the sooner we can get to work. I like networking, and well, I like people, and I'm good at networking. So that was kind of my thought process, was like get people into the space, let them be working amongst themselves, pulling from the experience of everybody they're around. And like, I'll just go out and try and meet as many people in the space as I can and try to funnel that value back into the space. And that's kind of what we did. So that's Pleb Lab in a nutshell.
I mean, the incubation is one part, but I can talk about my experience too. When I first moved here, I was working at a, I don't know how to use this thing. I was working at a WeWork when I first moved here, but it was miserable because it's a very isolated environment. You're around people, but no one talks to anyone else. No one knows what anyone else is working on. But I moved here to be around Bitcoiners. So when I saw Carr on Twitter, I just, you know, DM'd them, and I met both Carr and Kyle, and working around, you know, the motley crew that we have is incredible because just the sheer amount of signal that's in the room. There's no talk about price. It's just, I learn a new thing about Bitcoin every day, and that itself is incredibly valuable. So yeah, these guys are doing great work.
That's awesome. And like, I mean, it's obvious that the culture around is just like about building shit too, right? Like, and putting it out there. I mean, me, I'm up here in the Northeast, like FOMOing, but also feeling like a part of the community because you've got, you know, Stacker News, you've got Haseki, you got, you know, all the stuff you guys are building, it seems to be so open to the world as well. And I know that, Kyle, when we talked about your first hackathon, I think that was the first a couple months ago, you're like, we've got a bunch of people with like a bunch of crazy ideas, and we want to get people in a room and have them build shit. So like, I don't know if you want to talk about that hackathon, and then maybe foray into like, you know, the BTC++ hackathon, and then how you kind of came to that and set that up.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did our first hackathon in March. South by Southwest basically decided they were not going to have any Bitcoin content at any of their panels. So we decided we would just launch our own version, and we launched Sats by Southwest. The kind of website launch and thought process with like the overall just like Sats by Southwest website.
Can you talk about the cease and desist?
Yeah, I'll talk about the cease and desist. So we created Sats by Southwest, and like the thought process was really just like a simple like, hey, if you're a Bitcoiner or a Bitcoin company in Austin, like we created a simple landing page where you can just like throw up your event that's happening during the week of South By, and like anybody who's looking for Bitcoin content during the week could find it at Sats by Southwest. And then we decided to throw a hackathon for like our event, because like one of the things we noticed internal at Pleb Lab was that there really is just like a lack of education in the space that's really crucial in our eyes. And I think part of it is hackathons. Like when we started asking around, like, how can we get more people involved? How can we get more people educated on the things happening in Bitcoin? Again, a recurring theme was like hackathons. Like, let's just get people together to build cool shit. So we launched the Sats by Southwest hackathon, which was a great success. I mean, we had like more people than I really anticipated. I think our first hackathon had probably like 35 engineers show up on day one. There was probably like 60 people in the room at the end of the second day. And I think we had 9 projects that presented, like 6 or 7 of which were just like really badass. And I would have loved to have seen like further developed into companies. And towards the end of that, it all wrapped up, and Lisa over at Base 58 and Stack, they basically reached out and they were like, hey, we're thinking about doing like a conference type thing. would you guys be interested in kind of collaboration? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's talk. So we started going through the process basically right after Stats by Southwest. And the thing that we landed on was, like, again, oriented towards education. Like, Bitcoiners and people in general are, like, looking for more content oriented towards, like, how can I get plugged in? How can I learn? How can I build? So she threw her weight and her educational experience into, like, hosting 2 days of workshops and educational stuff, bringing in, like, a bunch of really smart people who are working at, like, really cool companies, building really cool things. And then on the tail end of it, after it was like, hey, you've now learned a bunch of cool stuff and, like, you've met some cool people, like, bring that over and let's spend 2 days, like, throwing it into practical application and, like, let's build it. So that was the Bitcoin Plus Plus Hackathon. Again, kind of beyond expectations once more. I think we had a little over 50, maybe it was even a little over 60 engineers starting on day one. And I think we had 18 projects. So literally doubled the projects from Hackathon 1 to Hackathon 2. And again, it was, like, overwhelming how many of them were really awesome projects. So it was a pretty great day.
Yeah, it was really cool. Again, watching from afar, seeing the teams kind of come together and some of the projects. Nick, you participated, right? You hacked.
I just wanted to add one thing. Go ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing about the hackathon, because I met a lot of people, and it wasn't just Austin. I feel like the bat signal is out there, but, you know, we had a guy come from Australia, I think. We had a guy come from Puerto Rico, and they didn't just come for, like, just the hackathon. I think they're planning on staying for several weeks or several months, or maybe even moving here permanently. Forever. Yeah, forever. So I feel like everyone starts. So if you're watching on the internet, come to Austin for a month. Get an Airbnb. I feel like Topher over here, he's living in an extended stay.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, like, what, $100 a night or something, if even, like, sometimes, give or take. Charge you by the week. Okay, nice. But yeah, so a lot of people are just coming, showing up for a month, and then they just end up either living in a van down by the river, or, you know, just getting an apartment like a pleb. But yeah, anyways, to segue into the hackathon. So I think there was a lot of projects using, you know, Voltage was one of the other sponsors. So there's a lot of developers building on, like, LMBits, which was interesting. I know Topher over here built a project on LMBits. We had, obviously the Galois API. We showed everybody Freecorn. So I think a lot of people took the free $5 and kind of looked at the GraphQL API. But for the most part, there was, other than my team, which was John from Zaprite and Sam from Galois, there was one other guy. He didn't quite submit a project to, you know, final submission to actual present, but there was one other guy working on the Galois API. And it was interesting because he was brand new to Bitcoin. He was, you know, a little bit older guy coming from just traditional tech. You know, he just really got into Bitcoin, like, I think, like, 3 months ago. And he just came to that, you know, Base 58 to learn, got, like, a very base understanding of Bitcoin, but he knew just programming in general. I think he came from a C# background, but yeah, he was able to get the Galois API running and kind of playing around with it. So I think the next hackathon, I think we're going to get some more, some more people interested in it. But yeah, anyways, to talk about, I guess, my hackathon project.
I think that's likely. I mean, just I saw, like, we had Voltage sponsor the last hackathon, and it was one project that was built on Voltage, I think, maybe two out of the nine. I know one for sure because they won the whole hackathon, but I don't recall if there was any more. I think it was literally just that one, and then this time around I think they were up to, like, four or five that might have been built on Voltage. So just like the kind of growth in the just overall numbers, like, I think at least just from two hackathons, the kind of trend we see is that the more you present and, like, offer people to build on your platform, the more they do. So, I mean, I would agree it's likely if Galois were there again, there'd probably be more projects built on Galois for round two.
Yeah, and I kind of see, you know, with Pleb Lab, you know, incubating all these new companies, like, obviously Hoseki is going to be huge, like, you know, could there potentially be integrations in El Zante, you know, El Salvador. There's like kind of a hot testing ground right there because they don't have a lot of these banking services, you know, so maybe Austin is a place where they can build, you know, plugins and extensions for Galloy. It's open source Bitcoin banking software. So anybody anywhere can build anything. And Galloy already has the Bitcoin Beach wallet, you know, running. So if any company out there wants to get, you know, traction right off the bat, I feel like taking your app to even at a pilot stage down to El Zante, you know, could be very promising. And that's kind of what, you know, John from Zaprite wanted to do. He, you know, if you're not familiar with Zaprite, it's, you know, proper invoicing is what he calls it for pretty much Bitcoiners. You know, one of his simplest use cases is he himself was a consultant and he had to give invoices and he got paid in Bitcoin, but he needed, you know, proper invoices for, you know, integrating with QuickBooks, integrating with taxes, all that fun stuff. So he basically built Zaprite. He's part of PlebLab. Like maybe you can dig deeper into like what, how Zaprite kind of evolved, right? You've seen him evolve, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've watched, everybody in this community evolve. It like even outside of like the people in our 10-person office, the initial gang has evolved as people and as projects. It's been really fascinating to watch. But honestly, in the year that we've been here and have been doing this, it's really been an honor actually to just kind of participate in and be a small piece of this evolution of the ecosystem at large. And I like Topher and you and like all of these people that like, I mean, to your point earlier, just like if you're looking at Austin, just this is what me and Carve said over and over and over again. It's just like, just show up and keep showing up, because the more you show up, the more likely it is that you're going to get involved, because everybody's here and everybody keeps coming back. And there's just so much happening in this space in the city right now that like you're likely to meet somebody who's looking for your particular skill set. And the more you show up and give people your skill sets and just like do it, the more likely it is that you get involved. And then once you get involved, it just like goes from there. It's been really fascinating to watch everybody grow, not only as individuals, but as like team members and family. It's like Sam is one of my best friends, and like, and Carr is one of my best friends, and John is one of my best friends. These aren't just like people in my office that are numbers in my machine that like you get the money, now you pay me for office space and get out. It's like, I love the people here, and it's really cool to watch how everyone's kind of grown together. It's cool.
I will say that, just be warned, it's not an aesthetically pleasing place. It's not exactly the prettiest city in the world, but the people are good. The people are pretty on the inside.
It's also not the ugliest city in the world either. So
I grew up near Flint, Michigan.
We didn't all grow up in Miami.
Yeah, I grew up near Flint, Michigan. So this is, I grew up pleb. So this is, yeah, Austin's beautiful. Go to the hill country.
I can't imagine.
This guy's Miami, so he's just like plastic women everywhere.
A little bit of bougie in there.
Yeah, keep it weird. Keep it pleb, right? That's Austin's saying. But yeah, to circle back to like the hackathon with, you know, John with Zaprite, he wanted to bring his application down to El Salvador. And one of our team members, Arvin, you know, wrote a lot of the code a few months ago and like literally gave John a video on how to do it. But John claims not to be a developer. He's like, I'm not a developer. He's like, I'm just a UI UX guy, but he's in there writing JavaScript and code. So I pretty much just showed him like, here's our GraphQL API. He's like, what's GraphQL? So me and Sam taught John GraphQL at the hackathon. And he was able to integrate the code. Sam wrote a few lines of code for webhooks into the Galloy API. So it was just very natural. And it's amazing when you meet in real life, like how much you can get done as opposed to back and forth on a phone call. You know, you sit for 8 hours or 2 days. There is something special about being in the same space with somebody and be able to just go back and forth for 2 or 3 hours. You can pretty much get like weeks or months worth of work done, you know, face to face. So we're able to integrate Zaprite with Galloy. Very early stages, you know, the code is still pretty dirty and messy. But, you know, I could really see the future being these types of integrations where people just kind of meet in a co-working space, they have an idea, they hack it together, you know, the snowball starts to fall, and eventually it's, you know, you got a startup, you know, like Hoseki, you know, your big startup and stuff. But
we're not big.
Yeah, no,
you're big on my Twitter feed.
I think I think the interesting thing to piggyback off of there is that, like, there's when you're in a room in a group setting and you're like actually on top of one another, it can actually be a little bit chaotic, where like if you're at the point of like company development where you just like need a bunch of guys quietly like heads down working, oftentimes, like, at least internal to Pleb Lab thus far, like one of the things we realized is that like early stage startups and like slightly further along startups almost need like some level of separation, because the earlier you are, the more you benefit from this very dynamic thing. And like the further along you get, the more you start to need some of the like the quiet heads down space to put things together and get things done. But there's like there's a real difference in the two ways that work get done, right? Like you have an open door policy, which is kind of how Pleb Labs operated thus far, where it is very dynamic and there's a lot of chit chat and like back and forth because people are all kind of trying to pull from one another. And you don't maybe get as much heads down work done, but you get a lot of really important work done. And then as they scale up and scale out, which is kind of why we're looking at growing our space, it becomes necessary for like, you just kind of evolve past a point. And like, that is like one of the things in the evolution of Zaprite and Hoseki. And honestly, basically everybody in our program right now is that they've all kind of evolved past that earliest stage thing where like just free flowing ideas was the most valuable thing. It's time for like a new cohort who are looking to kind of start building from the ground up. And a lot of the guys we've been working with for the last couple of months are now kind of graduating into like needing an office of their own. So it's been cool to see.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And I think we're all just working for Bitcoin, right? Like we're all working for, even though we're different companies.
That was the other thing I was going to say is like on the point of like the integration of more than one company, like Galois and Zaprite just kind of like merging their ideas together and becoming like a whole new thing is like, I think all boats rise in Bitcoin. I think the idea that we're like competing with one another, it's like if Galois is similar to something else, like that does it like in Bitcoin, like that isn't competition. Like there's room for multiple like Bitcoin banking applications in the Bitcoin space. And I think the idea that we're competing against one another is kind of silly. We should just be competing against our fiat like overlords, because the Bitcoiners, like all boats rise, man. Like the better off Galois and Hoseki and Pleb Lab and Unchained Capital, like the better everybody is. I think we're at the stage of like, we shouldn't be fighting amongst ourselves. We should just be trying to help as many Bitcoiners win as possible.
I mean, there's one thing about, you know, being on the same team, we're obviously all on the same team, but then there's the other part about infrastructure. It's just, there's so many pieces that need to be built in order to build financial infrastructure. And we're legitimately rebuilding stuff from the ground up. And I mean, I tend to forget that sometimes too. It's easy to forget that because, you know, your life's happening on a day-to-day basis and we're necessarily building things that a lot of us hope are, you know, will be relevant for centuries, if not millennia, which sounds nuts. But, you know, I really think you have to think in decades. Revolutionaries think in decades. I think a lot of what we do just necessarily is revolutionary and can be considered a type of revolution. So, We're just scratching the surface, and I know that's kind of cliche. Like, you know, we're so early; it's still early. But genuinely, like, if you just look at the things that are required, and let's just say you wanted to replicate the existing financial infrastructure to the extent that it's at today, that would take like on the order of like 80 years or so to really build all those pieces. Now, obviously, we don't want to do that; we want to build something better. But everything we do is complementary, yeah, and faster and more secure and better.
I don't want to wait 80 years, Sam. Build it.
Yeah, faster. I mean. That's like my first conversation with Kyle, and this is like, you know, months ago, thinking like, you know, a lot of our team, we're building open source Bitcoin banking infrastructure, right? And so you've got the Bitcoin Beach wallet, you've got a team of three developers in Costa Rica that forked it and put their logo on a wallet and had it up and running, you know, within 3 weeks, ready to go in the App Store. And they recently designed basically there's a maps tab where like merchants, you know, can like kind of like Yelp can put pins on the map. They've redesigned that whole tab in the app and are calling it Mercado Marketplace. And it's kind of like Yelp meets Craigslist on top of this open source banking center. And so like when, you know, connecting with Kyle, I'm like, you know, there's so many things for us all to build and to integrate and you know, to build open source, like to your point about, you know, rebuilding the financial system. It's like, we want to be connected with the builders, right? And to build with people. So super excited about that. Which, speaking of, I'd love to talk a little bit about the projects that came out of the hackathon. I was watching it live, and then I had to go back and watch through again. Like, there's so many like important, interesting, useful projects. I mean, like, yeah, 18 people got out there, and I'm just like jaw drops, right? In terms of like people thinking about privacy, people like, I'm going to break stuff. There's other people like, I'm going to build stuff. Other people are like, I'm going to solve a use case for, you know, for normies and like allowing, like, you know, using Lightning. Like, I'd love to hear from you guys, like, you know, what projects maybe stuck out in your mind and why did they stick out in your mind?
Yeah, I think the winners kind of stuck out in my mind, what Justin Moon and his team did with Fetty Mint. I know there was a lot of people that were excited about it. It kind of stemmed from Justin did a talk, you know, at Bitcoin Plus Plus about Fetty Mint. It kind of stemmed, I think, from the Bitcoin conference in Miami. He got with, you know, Eric, I believe works at Blockstream. He's kind of the, you know, brains behind a lot of the crazy cryptography and blind signatures and Chalmain mints and all that crazy fun stuff that I'm still trying to comprehend. But yeah, I think at a high level, he got a lot of people excited, you know, because that project, Fetimint, it's a Rust-based project called, I believe, Minimint. And it started with one guy, and that turned into two guys, Justin and Eric. And I think from the hackathon, it turned into like eight guys, I think, were on his team. So it's just, yeah, there's a lot of people just working together and building cool stuff. So that was a cool project. I think it has some synergies kind of with what Galloy is doing. You know, we're all these community collaborative banks, you know, all these federations around the world. You know, we've got potentially a Central African Republic, potentially, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 different instances of Galloy, or just a federation like that, you know, could be the future. So that's just kind of another way to do it. Fetimint is interesting in the way that it does blind signatures, because it does really encrypt a lot of the data within the bounds of that mint. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done, but I think it'll be interesting just to follow that project. Kind of see where they go. I don't know. Were you one of the judges, Sam?
Yeah, I was. I mean, they had a great name. I think it was Mini Simp or, yeah. or Simpy Mint. I don't know. Yeah, Mini Simp. One of those. I mean,
a lot of jokesters in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the culture is what's important. I'm incredibly bullish on Fetimint. I think it's fetimint.org is the website, in case anyone's curious. And they have a Telegram group as well. It's fetimint.org.
Or just show up to Austin and talk to Justin. He's at the Bitcoin comments.
Well, I just think, like, you know, what they're trying to do and what you guys are doing is exactly what we should be doing. And that's what I mean by building financial infrastructure. Breaking up nation states, like, this is how you do it in a nonviolent way. You build local communities. And, you know, we have this, the saying in Bitcoin is don't trust, verify. And, that's true. That's true at the protocol level, at the network level. But I think what Bitcoin helps us do is localize that trust. You only trust people that you need to or want to trust. And they ideally should be at, you know, an arm's length. So that's what the whole community banking initiative's about. So Fetimint's just another pillar, I think. And yeah, I thought it was great. They specifically did an implementation of Simplicity on top of Minimint, meaning that you'd be able to have smart contracting capabilities on like a global collective of community banks, which I thought was incredibly cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. So in Miami, the open source stage, which was just packed with really good talks and panels. You know, I heard Odell, maybe this was only a couple of weeks ago, where somebody asked him, like, what is he bullish on? And he was like, there's a reason why the final two talks at Miami were Obi and Eric's, who were talking about Fetimint. He's like, this is, you know, this is such an interesting space. Fetimint.org, check it out. What else grabbed you guys, from the hackathon that you thought was interesting?
Do we have a list of the?
I mean, I probably have the one that we have on Telegram. The other one that I thought, I know for a fact, like every, so they're like the top three, if you will, that like we as a panel of judges all really kind of struggled to like place into their box to like pick who was like best overall, who was like the best idea, and who was like the most polished. Those three were like really hard. Like we had basically a handful of like the commonalities, but we didn't know which one went where. And that was the mini simp. We had liquidity pool. And then the third one was like dog racing. It was like the dog racing team, which was, liquid, Lightning Bridge, basically like allowing smart contracts off of Lightning to like transfer back onto Lightning. So
that was like riff off of Satoshi Dice, right? So that was like, and that one actually won, that one, like, what is that? I actually have it up here. I don't know if you can see the screen. Are you seeing my screen here?
Yep.
Probably far away for you guys. So yeah, let's check a couple of these out. Atlanta had a good one. Okay. Oh, most polished, Satoshi Dog. And so, yeah, that was a really cool project, using Liquid. And like you said, coming back to Lightning, Liquidity Hub. So this was an idea that was interesting, right? Which was, you know, whether you're mining or DCAing, like automatically, sending Bitcoin to Lightning and kind of like managing your sort of, distribution and your liquidity. That was really cool. I think that he had the idea like the morning of the hackathon and just like started hacking on that.
Oh yeah. I sat right next to him. It's cause he was at the same table as me. And I think Justifer from Amboss was right across the table. So he was just kind of talking to him about, I think the Magma API that, Amboss has, is I believe what he used. So yeah, he just kind of, I think it was just synergies of sitting next to the guy who, you know, is in charge of Amboss. So
that's the magic of, yeah, like you said, getting in person next to people. Atlanta, Steven from Bitcoin Design, always like showing up in full form at the hackathons. It was good to see him out. And they're like, a couple people like this were just like, I'm going to solve a problem that I have in my life or my community. So I think they built a, they were actually using Bolt Offers, right? Bolt 12, to allow people to book space in their co-working space, right?
Yep.
Kyle, you guys should fork that repo.
Get Topher to set it up. He kind of knows a lot about it.
I'm on the spot here.
I actually think that's a good idea because like a lot of people show up to town for a week and they want to go hang out with Bitcoin or just pay a couple sats and come into the common pleb lab. And
it's probably an idea to explore. The one thing I will say is that like, I honestly struggled with judging last time. There was just like so much awesomeness that came out of it. And this time was significantly more challenging. Like, I don't know if they keep getting bigger and better, the next hackathon is going to be nearly impossible to judge. It's just going to be too difficult.
How about Ben the Carmen's project, Trans LND? that was funny.
My girlfriend got a good chuckle out of that one. She was like, you guys are funny. She was like, you got a funny community. And I was like, yeah, we do.
It was changing. What was it? It was Lightning invoice IDs.
The node IDs.
It's a new Lightning pub key for every Lightning invoice. Yeah, I don't know. Just so much fun, honestly. Like I, the vibe and the energy in the room is high. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's super pumped to like be working and building cool things together. I really honestly wish I could do them more often. Like our goal, when we realized that like hackathons were going to be kind of like an integral part of like our thought process on like how we can get more education in the space going, our target was one per quarter for the rest of this year. We're on pace to do that, so we're two in now. My team is in Mexico City kind of scouting out locations and possibilities for a Bitcoin plus plus Mexico City version. And we've got a super secretive one coming up for the end of the year that is going to be the funniest, most fun, I can't tell you, but it's gonna be freaking hilarious, man. It's gonna be so good. It's gonna be something completely different. It's gonna be good.
I can't wait to hear it. taking a look just like at the overall project, it looked like, and Nick, you're mentioning this, like a lot of low level development. Like, what would you say the breakdown of like hack participants were? Was it like 40, 50 people? And then like, was it maybe half Lightning and you know, half Bitcoin? There's a couple like design projects. I don't know. Give me a sense of just like the breakdown of the projects.
There was definitely a lot of people like at the protocol level. Like we had John Cantrell showed up with Sensei. He's building kind of an impinionated stack on top of like LDK and BDK, which are kind of new to the Lightning nodes. Kind of like they're not opinionated, so you can pick any way to like store your data. So his project, I think, got a lot of people excited too. Obviously, that's lower on the protocol stack. I would say it was probably 50-50 people like low level protocol developers and people trying to build like on the application layer. I think it was pretty well split up, right? You'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're maybe skewed a little more heavily towards Lightning, but I think that's just due to like the kind of the nature of the space with where we're at right now. Is like the protocol still has work to be done on it, and like we need more protocol devs, but like the application layer is where Bitcoin's being built right now, and that's Lightning. So I think it probably would have, I would say it, the hackathon and even the conference overall probably skewed like 70-30 Lightning to actual like base layer protocol stuff. So I think that's fine. That's a good fair split for like where we're at with the progression of this network right now.
You said 70-30?
Yeah,
somewhere. That's right. I mean, I think that's why it's like these hackathons are so successful too. I mean, Lightning is more conducive to web development. And that's, I think that's currently kind of where no one's beating us necessarily in terms of like, you know, the asset, but one thing that we historically have been lagging on are just kind of like that creative web dev environment, and Lightning is just very conducive to it. So yeah, if it was like only protocol development, I don't think it would be as fun or interesting. I think it's because Lightning.
I agree that seems accurate. I mean, we've touched on this a bunch in the conversations about like education. And for me personally, like my thought process on like the push for education is actually like, I'm not a deeply technical guy. So like when I think about education, I don't think in this like deeply technical aspect. To like some of the points Sam's talking on is like, the only place I think we are actually being beat is in our marketing, because I think the Bitcoin culture is as good as they come. I mean, once you get involved with Bitcoiners and the Bitcoin community, it's literally fucking epic.
We'll talk about
it's epic. But
you got on the news here.
Our marketing is not very good. Like we have room for improvement in like talking about and actually promoting that culture. So that's part of my educational journey. And yeah, that led me to the news, I guess. Yeah,
news.
Oh, you didn't know?
No, I don't.
You didn't see the piece for Three Forks?
No, I didn't see it.
It's out.
Tell the story.
Three Forks is like a 5-star steakhouse here in Austin that the owner reached out to me way, way, way back in October or November of last year. He actually came to the Bull Bitcoin refugee party at Native Hostel, and he introduced himself and he gave me a card and was like, hey, I am thinking about like trying to get my steak shop on a Bitcoin standard, come by anytime. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks. And we've kind of gone in a handful of times since then. They've kind of been progressively like ramping up trying to go full Bitcoin, and they decided, I guess it's about a month ago now, shortly before the conference, that they were going to announce a full Bitcoin standard. I don't know who behind the scenes got the media coordinated. I would assume a little bit of Three Forks, a little bit of Michael Atwood over at Oshi, but they sent a news crew team over to Pleb Lab. They were looking for like a little color, and I guess I fit the bill. So they like followed us around Pleb Lab for a little bit, and they did like an interview. It was really crazy because the news anchor actually sat in Pleb Lab for probably like a good hour of like deep orange pilling and didn't record anything. He was just like
learning. So you orange pilled him.
He was like, tell me more. And then he was like, okay, he's like, now let's get some stuff for like for footage. And I'm like, dude, you should have been recording that whole hour. What do you mean? Like, this is so unnatural. Now you want to like break the, but anyways, yeah, that landed on some kind of like Fox Spectrum news here in Austin very recently. It was a funny little piece. I think the guy was definitely orange pilled, and it was cool to see Bitcoin making the news. So,
was he there for the hackathon or for BTC++ or just like on a normal day?
It was on like an everyday occasion. Okay. So it was like the day that Three Forks was announcing their full adoption of a Bitcoin standard. So like they came to Pleb Lab, they talked with us, they like tracked us down the street as like a crew of us went down to Three Forks, and then they did like a bunch of stuff at the actual steakhouse. I think we took with our team, it was like 15 or 16 of us at the table that like showed up. There was a couple of like spillovers that ended up over at the bar and like a couple other little tables. Yeah,
and then
strangely enough, out of absolute pure coincidence, without knowing at all, the Riot blockchain team also threw like an all hands business meeting at Three Forks that night. So there ended up being the night of the Bitcoin standard like launch, there was like 40 Bitcoiners at Three Forks. It was pretty crazy.
That's awesome. I'll have to pull that article up.
Yeah, I'll send you the link, Andrew.
Yeah.
I paid with my credit card that night.
Lame.
Yeah. This guy.
Back to the hackathon though. The one project that I thought was really cool was it wasn't Bitcoin related. It was I'm looking at it now. It was GPG for noobs. Someone just like did an analysis of He did an analysis of different apps that you can download and how they, you know, like, well, it wasn't instructions. It's just what files they give you in order to authenticate the software. And
the whole process of verifying.
Yeah. And he tried to simplify it and like gave a nice taxonomy. I thought that was actually one of the coolest ones, to be honest.
I actually really appreciated both of the non-technical presentations. There was that one, and then there was the
Constantine's,
yeah, with like basically like doing funnels for like Bitcoin marketing to get more people onboarded to Bitcoin. And it was cool to see because we actually got such a large crowd from like all over the spectrum that we had two or three people that showed up that like aren't coders, they're not engineers, but they were there to learn, and they were like that passionate about Bitcoin where they were like, you know what, like I don't know how to build software, but I can build something. And we talked to them before the hackathon even started, and I was like, yeah man, like use whatever skill set you have, like we're not like only taking technical projects. If you like want to put something together, if you build something over 48 hours, like for sure pitch it. And I thought that was really cool. I really appreciated that, like the space and like the passion to be involved has grown even at a hackathon beyond just like these deeply technical projects. And the fact that people got up there and presented those was, I think, pretty cool.
That's an important point. You don't have to be technical to take part in a hackathon. It's not just the code. It's the presentation. It's how it looks. It's the UX. And a lot of the time it's, you know, not the engineers that have the best insight on UX. So if you're thinking about going to a hackathon and you don't know how to code, that's okay.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout out to another project from Topher here. He's in the room being our producer here. But yeah, that was the original team I was supposed to be on before Sam came to town, and I kind of wanted to do stuff on Galloy because, you know, how often you get to work with, you know, a coworker in real life. I wanted to take advantage of that. But Topher's project was called, you know, Sats for Tips. He changed the name. We had a funnier name I won't mention. But anyways, the idea behind his project was, we have, you know, a Bitcoin bar here in Austin called Shiners. You know, pretty much, I don't know how many times a week, any given Friday or Thursday, you can go to Shiners and there's probably Bitcoiners working there. you know, that's where I kind of met up with Nicholas from Galloy, and we, you know, we actually played, they have like a game of washers, you know, the game where you just try to get on the hook, and he's never actually played the game before. And I played against him, and he got it. He beat me. He's really good. Yeah. Got to watch out. The French guys are good at washers. But anyways, so that bar is, you know, they accept Bitcoin. Michael Atwood got them on Lightning. I believe they're using IBEX. But the problem is we can't really tip because everybody, you know, for whatever reason, they split the tips and they do a bunch of weird stuff. So it's always awkward. You pay in Bitcoin, you're like, I don't have any of that dirty fiat stuff in my pocket to give you a tip. So you're kind of just like, I guess the next round I'll buy in credit card, then I'll give you an extra tip. But it's always been really awkward, the whole tipping. So we wanted a way to do tipping jars. And Topher over here was playing a lot with Bolt 12 offers, Topher. And not a lot of wallets support it. So he actually pulled down LN bits on Voltage, and he was actually able to use LN URL address, which, you know, we use it in Bitcoin Beach Wallet to pay somebody. Basically, it's like an email address, but for Lightning payments. So he actually was able to create a tip jar with kind of a new guy in town, Austin. He's just kind of a young guy, a lot of fire inside. He just kind of came to town, what, like 3 weeks ago? Just kind of, yeah. What, has it been long? 3 months ago. Has it been that long? Oh, yeah. Okay. Austin's been in town since? Oh, January. Austin, the guy. Yeah, so there's a guy named Austin who moved to Austin, younger guy, and he
might not even be 3 weeks.
Yeah, he might be watching right now. Shout out to Austin. He's an awesome developer.
He's doing the Bolts.
Oh, is he doing the Bolts? Oh, okay. Well, but anyway, so that show the bolt.fun, right, is the website. But anyways, yeah, I was really excited to see them get that up and running. They actually had, you know, a live demo where people paid them money. And then I think there's a little bit of hack. Somebody stole some money, but I think Topher, somebody stole a couple dollars off the app just because there was a little vulnerability. You know, it's a hackathon. We hack code together. Somebody online saw a vulnerability and sweeped one of the wallets, but
just a little bit.
Topher fixed that problem. So,
that was
literally within what, 5 minutes?
Within an hour. Yeah,
he live streamed the project. Somebody stole like $5 from a wallet within an hour. It's kind of funny. But all hey, all in good fun. So, but anyways, that was, your project was one of my favorite ones, obviously. I love the idea. And I think how far are you from being able to use that in Shiners so we can actually tip at, I guess we're going to Shiners tonight for
honestly,
after Bit Devs.
It's just a matter of making it look pretty.
Okay. So
you can deposit, you can withdraw, you can do it all.
Okay. So any day now Shiners will be able to accept tips in Bitcoin Lightning.
Anybody.
Anybody. Yeah.
Really,
and another cool thing is you can put a little note on there too, right? So if the bartender has really good service, you can be like, you know, great job today. And you can kind of read, I believe, other people's past comments. So, you know, if a bartender's good or not. And yeah, just kind of that two-way feedback.
There's a lot of really cool features that you can do now that a lot of people don't know about.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Come on, come over, Topher, and introduce yourself. Come over here, man.
It's hard to do the soundboard and talk at the same time, but I guess I'm preparing for tomorrow because I'm going to have to be doing PBS. But so I am the ghost voice that's behind the camera. So there's a lot of really amazing things that you can do with Lightning right now. And I think the problem is just that a lot of people don't know about it. And so we need to get the word out. We need to get the word out about Bolt 12. Which is still brand new. We need to get the word out about LN URL, which is amazing. And it's incredible that there's actually a decent number of wallets that support LN URL. So you can even do cool things like authentication with your wallet, which still blows me away that you can like log in with your wallet. So Stacker News. But I mean, it's like, once you understand the process, it's not that hard to do. I think we just need like demos and examples out there to show people how to do it. And then, there we go. Yeah, there's a very old version of that site that's live right now. Don't bother using it. I disabled the login.
Oh, is it live? Can I go to the site right now?
You can, but the account creation has been disabled. We're going to relaunch it within a few days.
And then everything's going to be fixed. All the features will be in place.
Maybe have a launch party Austin Bitcoin Club next.
Oh yeah, launch party at Shiners.
What? Austin Bitcoin Club. It's first Thursday of every week. So okay. This is actually a really strangely long month. There's 5 Thursdays this month. Oh.
Ooh. It's two weeks and some days away till the next Austin Bitcoin Club. And don't ask me what's going on at it, because I'm not involved anymore. Yeah, I don't run it.
Michael Atwood runs it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I watched the 2009 Super Bowl at Shiners, the one time I was ever in Austin. If that was the one when Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona Cardinals, caught like touchdown at the end of the game or something. It's like etched in my brain, this like Austin trip, because it was the one place or one of the few places that I've ever like traveled to where I was like, I could live here. Like the minute I stepped off the plane, I moved to San Diego instead. But
was that the year they played Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I fun fact, I got so fucked up for not like drunk. I was like still in the military, and I finished basic training. And then I went to like AIT, which is like your job training. And we were still like not in the phase of like free to like kind of do some like go out and do things. You were like kind of still on like strict rules. And the two playoff games leading up to the Super Bowl, I missed them. They like didn't let us catch them. And I was like, back then I was like a diehard. I was like, fuck you, I'm not missing it. So I woke up the morning of the Super Bowl.
Did you go AWOL?
I did. I went AWOL for the Super Bowl. I went downtown like early as shit. I caught a cab. I like bought a bunch of like black and yellow clothes. I had a terrible towel. And I got like text messages starting pretty early in the day talking about, dude, we're not able to go to lunch until you come back, like this, that, and the third. And I just like ignored all of it. I was like, fuck you, I'll be back when the game is over. So I stayed out all day and watched the game, and I got some significant ass chewing.
How many push-ups did you do?
I did a lot of push-ups and a lot of burpees, and I was like raking rocks out of like pits, and it was like it was a long
worth it?
Long no, it wasn't. No. But I did it, so good times.
Yeah, Shiners is like the perfect, I don't know why it's a perfect bar. It's just like, it's so dilapidated.
yeah, it's a pleb bar.
Yeah, it doesn't look, again, it's not aesthetically pleasing, but it's got a charm.
Yes,
it's got a charm.
It's got Bitcoiners in it regularly, so right. You can't go wrong. And honestly, like we're starting to realize too, that like due to the fact that like it is kind of so aesthetically unpleasing, it's like kind of an underrated hole in the wall. Where like every time like shitcoin events come in, like we were going to do our after party after Bitcoin Plus at Tipsy Alchemist, where we did the block party, and we went over there and they rented out the bar the whole week to shitcoiners. And we were just like, oh, okay, cool. Good luck. And we went over to Shiners. Nothing. No one rented out Shiners. They're like, yeah, we got space free. Like we'll be here. I was like, all right, cool. We'll be over. Yeah. So it's basically the Bitcoiner bar, man. It's like they've accepted us. They like us. We go over there and have a good time. We treat them well. They treat us well. It's a good little spot.
You've got a picture here.
And again, that's like what we're building here, right? Like circular economy, right? Like those are the kind of connections you want to make. You want to like keep taking back repeat business and keep showing them.
What are we going to call it? We've got Bitcoin Beach, Bitcoin Jungle. What is Austin?
It's Austin.
Just pleb.
You'll just know Austin is Bitcoin, because there won't be a need to call it Bitcoin Austin. It'll just be a city that's so Bitcoin that like.
City?
Yeah, I think we're Bitcoin City.
We're Bitcoin City.
Bitcoin City. That's
coin. I don't know. I think you need to keep thinking Bitcoin City is like, isn't that what they're talking to El Salvador?
Kelly, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they announced that they were gonna be the first Bitcoin City, and I tweeted that immediately after he said it, and I was like, good luck, Austin's gonna beat you to the punch. Like,
did you respond back?
I quote tweeted it and was like, Austin will do it first, because like I think it'll be easier to transition the city of Austin to a Bitcoin standard from the ground up than it will be to build a brand new Bitcoin city from the ground up. I think it's cool. I love what they're doing in El Salvador, but I'm optimistic that Austin is going to be the first Bitcoin city. Like we're gonna do things so big here that we're going to secede from the state of Texas and become the first Citadel City State.
Well, you have
heard about Bitcoin Park?
Yes, in Nashville.
Necessarily, but Bitcoin Park sounds pretty cool.
Well, they're popping up everywhere now. So like that's one of the, I've had people reach out about like Pleb Lab and Austin Bitcoin Club from Thailand, from Israel. The guys in Nashville now launched Bitcoin Park. Stefan Delorme over in Atlanta has now launched the Electric Terminus Money Lab, or it's some the name's so long I can't remember, but like they've all reached out talking about like how do you do what you're doing and like, and can we do it? And it's just like,
just show up.
Yeah, just fucking build a space for Bitcoiners, man. Like they'll show up, and like if you like have a community there, then and you like want to do it, that's just how I live my life. It's like, if I want to do it, I can do it. I should do it. And it doesn't hurt anybody if I do it, then I'm just going to fucking do it. And I think it's really cool to see that like things like Bitcoin Park and these other spaces are now popping up around the country to support the Bitcoin community in their hometown. I think it's awesome.
I think this picture I've got on screen is going to go into your little history book of your secession. This is Nick meeting Nicholas and building the Pleb Bank of Austin at Shiners. He's got his own.
That was a fun day.
That's so awesome.
See that? That's great.
But yeah, freaking awesome. Bullish on Austin. Bullish on BTC++, Pleb Lab, and the hackathons. Like. Thinking about, last thing I wanted to like double stamp, which we brought up, but I want to like echo it because like it came up on the Bitcoin design call yesterday and it came up right here, which is like, you don't need to be a developer to make a hackathon awesome. And like quite the contrary, like we need more designers, writers, like whatever. Right. So I think one of the projects you mentioned, like the guy was sharing a Figma board, right. As his presentation. You know, bringing different people into these settings to kind of bring the value is going to bring everybody up a level, right? Like, you know, thinking about, to your point, you know, Sam, the engineers are going to look at a problem one way and, you know, a designer or a writer or somebody else is going to look at a problem another way. And I think like, success is going to be like all of these people jamming together and thinking about things in a unique light or in a unique way. Like, you know, we had a recent so Millie from the Bitcoin. Actually, Millie lives in Austin, right?
She's designing our new website right now.
Millie's awesome. Yeah. She's designing some like a merchant experience for merchants to accept Bitcoin. Kind of like we talked about with Topher, like there are these issues that exist on the fringes of like what you might think just a POS needs to be, tipping as one. And a lot of the experience that she designed was like, how do you share a link in a way that somebody can like, if I'm an employee of a restaurant and I can like accept sats on behalf of that restaurant or whatever, right? So like just like these app to app or device to device interactions and these things, like people are going to look at it different ways. And good to hear. Yeah, Millie's awesome.
We love Millie. It's we agree, and that is so like I'm not necessarily involved with this one either, but come July, Austin will have officially a meetup every week of the month. Right now we have 3 of 4 weeks, but come July, we have some people that will be launching the ABDC Lightning Bolt / ABDC, and that is the Austin Bitcoin Design Club. So we're actually going to start trying to get even more people designing and working on UI UX. So
is that a playoff of ACDC?
Of course. We already have like PBS and ABC and SNL. So it was like, how can we keep playing off the theme? So we found ABDC.
So how about that cease and desist?
The cease and desist.
Let's get back into that.
About that. We designed the Sats by Southwest website, and our logo looked a lot like theirs, except even more badass because it was like lightning bolts for the S. Shortly after we launched the website, we actually got a cease and desist order from South by Southwest Festival saying that like our stuff was too much in likeness and it might give off the impression that they endorsed or sponsored our event. So
we're on the radar.
Yeah, I was like, all right, cool. We're doing big things here. Like South by Southwest took notice.
They
it wasn't just the logo, it was also the name too. I think it was like they trademarked like anything by Southwest or something.
Yeah, but you know what, like ultimately the way I read that, and they didn't respond differently, is like the way I read it when they sent it to me, it was like they basically anything in likeness. But I saw their list and I was like, well, Sats by Southwest is just a domain name. You can't sue me for owning a domain that you didn't buy. Yeah. The only thing I saw that like could have been construed as like a thing was the Sats by Southwest logo. So we just, instead of SXSW with both of the S's being lightning bolts, we just like made it Sats by Southwest and like actually wrote it out. And it didn't look as good, but it worked just fine. And I basically messaged them back. I was like, hey, I went through and deleted the post and I changed the title, like logo. Does this work? And they just like never responded. And then they messaged Carr like a week later, like, hey, do you want to put your event on the South By website? And we were like, fuck you, no.
I was going to say like they should be honored, and it would have done them made them look cooler to have some affiliation, but
yeah, so we're going to front run them next year.
Course, every year. We did the same thing with this one. It was like, okay, South by Southwest isn't going to do anything Bitcoin, so we'll just do Bitcoin the week before Sats by South or South by Southwest. And then Consensus wants to bring their fucking shitcoin event to Austin. And it's like, okay, great. Like, we'll just have like a little intimate Bitcoin conference. It's funny because I got a bunch of Ubers that week or even the week after. And like all of the Uber drivers were basically saying like most of the people they picked up were just like very rude and kind of like snub-nosed. And I was just like, yep, that sounds like shitcoiners. Like Bitcoiners are awesome. Like everybody I was hanging out with this week is super nice and super cool.
Oh, we met some greats.
Yeah. We had Adam back. Oh, dude, that shit. The fact that, dude, when I was standing outside, I was like, I was just like literally standing outside when he showed up. And Vivek is like downstairs from Blockstream, and he's just like standing there, kind of awkward like. And I'm like, I'm like, weird. What's he doing? And then all of a sudden, an SUV pulls up, and Adam back steps out, and I was like, yo, dude, Adam back is at my conference right now. Yeah, like, what is going on?
Your
like,
conference.
This is wild. I can't believe Adam back was here. It was pretty cool. Who else?
Taj Dreja.
I don't know.
Yeah. Network.
Yeah, he wrote the white paper. Taj Dreja and Joseph Poon. But yeah, he's
I didn't
even he's a legend too. Yeah.
I know he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Talking about
Xiaomi Mix. Yeah, we got Justin and Taj were talking because I don't think Taj was super like schooled on the stuff Fetty Mint and some of the stuff they were doing with Xiaomi Mint. So maybe you just might have invoked like a new project or a new interest in his life. So.
Well, I didn't, but yeah. I give birth daily.
it is cool. I mean, this just applies to computer science generally, that a lot of these people are still around. I mean, granted, Bitcoin's like incredibly nascent compared to the internet, but even like Tim Berners-Lee still around, Linus Torvalds, like these people are still alive. Yeah. For us, it's even better because it's even more recent.
Well, we almost got Merkel to show up, but he didn't show up. Dusty was supposed to get him from San Francisco. Merkel trees and the guy behind those.
Is he like a professor right now?
I don't know what he does. I think he's just probably just hanging out in San Francisco. I don't know, like doing math. I don't know.
I don't know why you want to be David out in San Francisco. That city sucks.
David Chum, unfortunately, he's involved in the shitcoin projects now.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we got what we need, blind signatures out of it. And we I think a lot of this stuff evolves out of shit coins, but like they just don't do it right. Yeah, it's open source. That's why we love open source.
That's right. So more conferences coming up. Like Kyle, what like takeaways, lessons, or ideas maybe are you thinking about for the future? Or like what would you say to people watching in terms of who should come to these types of hackathons? Like, what are you thinking for the future for upcoming ones?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we honestly, when we did the block party way back in like November, December, we decided we weren't going to do events because events suck. Like throwing and hosting events is hard work. And then we did another one and we did Sats by Southwest and then we did Bitcoin Plus Plus and they just keep getting smoother and better. So like I said, we've already got the team down in Mexico. We've already got a really hilarious idea outlined for like the end of the year hackathon. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be, you're going to want to be at that one. It's going to be hilarious.
Christmas themed?
It's it's birthday party themed. It's just going to be over the top outrageous. But the question of like who should come, I think we touched on it already during this pod, is like anybody, man. Like there were people at Bitcoin Plus Plus from every walk of life and at like every skill level and education set. If you're interested and curious in Bitcoin, like we're not selling $10,000 conference tickets. We're like, we're putting together a place where Bitcoiners can get together and meet and hang out and work with other Bitcoiners. More broadly, that's our vision for the space in general, is just space for Bitcoiners. So like outside of conferences, if you're looking to get involved and have like ever thought about Austin, reach out to us at PlebLab anytime. Like that's what we're here for. We're like literally just trying to create and foster connections. So don't ever hesitate to reach out. And the more you show up, the more likely it is you'll find a way to get involved. So that's my answer is basically, this is Bitcoin is for everybody, man. And our conferences and our events are for everybody as well.
Hell yeah. So if for folks listening, if I'm like, hey, I need to go down to Austin, which I think a lot of people think, including myself, if I decide to take a weekend or a week or something, can I post up at Pleb Lab, or like what's the process for joining what you guys have going on?
Yeah. It's Telegram group probably, yeah. The Telegram group. We have a couple of Telegram groups are really good for communication with the community at large. If you're looking for like a day or two of some co-working space, we can always get you accommodated at either Pleb Lab or with our friends over at Bitcoin Commons. At Pleb Lab, we're like in a bit of a transition state as we get ready to kind of grow out of the Capital Factory and into our own actual commercial real estate space. So depending on the time frame, I don't really know what our situation will look like, but we're not going anywhere. So yeah, just reach out and we'll always make sure you have a place to work and get connected with the community.
It's weird that you brought that up, because we just got a ping in the chat about someone from Argentina visiting right now.
Nice. Must have a live somebody watching live.
Yeah, we get people.
There we go.
We do have people coming in from all over the world.
If you're in Austin, come to BitDevs tonight. I'm sure they know about BitDevs if they're here. But if you don't, come to BitDevs tonight.
Yeah. Awesome. I would before we sign, I want to do like a little round of final thoughts. Where to find you? By the way, Adopting Bitcoin is happening in November. There will be an unconference style hack space there. So like, you know, people who either participated or are stoked to participate, like come on, like call for participation is still open or being reopened. That's going to be November 15th to 17th, I believe. That's adoptingbitcoin.org. So yeah, just more getting Bitcoiners together. So, you know, definitely.
I was thinking about coming down to El Salvador in September, and then Michael Atwood was like, hey, but adopting Bitcoin's in November. And I was like, oh, well, then I guess I'll just go in November. That sounds like the perfect time to go.
We're going to have a crew going down from Austin.
That's how we operate at this point. Like, I don't know how many of us rolled.
Charter own jet.
I've done a year of travel by myself. I've never traveled with like people. And then this year at Bitcoin Miami, we traveled like 30 people deep. I was basically living in Austin in Miami. I had like my whole friend circle there. It was wild. Like we just traveled deep, man. Everybody I know was in Miami.
Yeah, we're all on the same plane too.
Yeah. Except for me, I drove, but
get a bus. You guys need an Austin Bitcoin Pleb Lab bus.
Would it be like a 20-hour drive, maybe?
That's, at least. To Miami?
No, to El Salvador.
Oh, that'd be a very long drive. Just to get through the tip of Mexico is like 20-some hours, so you'd be talking about quite a ways.
I went last year.
I could get the truck through customs in Mexico, so I actually would not be able to take my house with me. I'd have to get some like retooling done to get. I tried to go to Mexico in the truck; it didn't work.
Yeah, the conference you guys through last year was incredible. It was honestly like one of the best. That and TapConf last year were unbelievable. Just the amount of signal. It's a great job, genuinely.
Cool.
And then Bitcoin Beach was cool. I wasn't gonna. I wasn't. Because there was that trip at the end where everyone went down to Bitcoin Beach, and I was just thinking, I'm like, you know, it's a beach. Like I've seen beaches before, and then sure they take Bitcoin, but like I'm not gonna, you know, spend the 45-minute or 30-minute car ride or whatever it is to go over there. But then I went, and it was just so majestic. There's something special about it. I mean, you know, the fact that it's a beautiful beach is one end of it. It's got black volcanic sand. ESPN apparently that's where they do their like surf competitions.
Yeah.
But the magic of seeing people use Bitcoin just for commerce itself was incredible. So yeah, highly recommend going next year or this year. It's a good conference. Yes,
I had a similar experience. Well, and it was like, not to mention, you like walk down the road into El Zante and you have like Chimbera and Jorge and these people who are kind of legends at this point, who like, you know, built Bitcoin Beach, Mike Peterson, who are just like giving people hugs, welcoming them in. And it's just like, yeah, it's such a small little area, but it's definitely magic. And yeah, like walking around paying street performers or like the guy, you know, helped me with my luggage, like the security guy or whatever. I was like, give Bitcoin Beach wallet. He's like, yeah. I was like, what's your username? Just like zapping sats everywhere. Like everybody that you see, you can just like send them a couple sats. And yeah, it's amazing. Kamal, by the way, come on video, man. We're kind of closing up here, but I wanted, so we have Kamal who is one of the people between him and Noor, one of the people like driving forces behind adopting Bitcoin. And so, yeah, super stoked about this year. And thank you, Kamal, for last year as well as this year.
You're all in El Salvador then, I guess, this fall. Looking forward to it, guys.
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah. Sam, we met at dinner, I think. And I didn't know how to find you on Twitter, so I'm really happy now I found you.
Yeah, we have a tendency to run into each other in this community, usually in different countries.
It's awesome. Look, this has been amazing. I'd like to give each of you guys a chance to just say a couple thoughts. Again, tell people where to find you, tell people what you're excited about or shill something that you got coming up or what you're working on. I'm going to go right to left. So, Sam.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was kind of last minute. But I don't think I've been in a podcast yet. So this might be my first one. So thanks for having me. Like I said, my name's Sam. I work at Hoseki. You can find us at Hoseki app on Twitter. You can find me at Sam Abbasi, 2 B's, 2 S's on Twitter. My email is sam@hoseki.app. And we're also hiring. So if you're looking for a job in the Bitcoin space, we're hiring engineers right now, an automation engineer and a hardware expert. So if you think you're qualified, please reach out. Yeah, thanks.
So I'm Kyle, CEO and co-founder of PlebLab. You can find me personally at the Bitcoin Bum, underscore after every word. Or you can reach us at PlebLab. My email is kyle@pleblab.com. You can also reach out to my co-founder car@pleblab.com. Like I said, if you guys are ever in Austin, don't hesitate to reach out. We're always here and always looking to get our Bitcoin friends plugged into the Bitcoin scene. We don't want you to come to Austin and miss it. So definitely reach out anytime.
And I'm Nick Tiley. You can find me on Twitter, Nick T. I work at Galloy. And yeah, I just want to kind of close it just to thank everybody and thank especially Kyle and Lisa and Stackamoto and everybody who made this conference possible. It was awesome. It was definitely a mix between like really good education and like just having fun parties with, you know, friends in Austin. And anybody who wants to come to Austin, just let us know. Just reach out to anybody on Twitter. Everybody in Austin is pretty, you know, open to helping anybody out or find a place to stay. And just, yeah, just there's hackathons and there's meetups all the time. And yeah, just, thanks guys.
All right. With that, we're going to stop record and thank you all for watching, listening. And again, like Nick said, Kyle and Carr and Lisa and Stackamoto and everybody who made it possible, everybody who participated, like amazing event and looking forward to the next one. Cheers.